Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Tonight, as we're getting ready to get into the Word, the title of tonight's message is Seek First His Kingdom, and this is part two. Now, if you weren't here last week, don't worry. I'm going to do a quick recap, but for the most part, the message stands on itself. You guys can always go back and listen, but for those of you who weren't here last week, I expressed it was a little bit different, and God had taken me on a journey, and I walked through that journey with each and every one of you guys and shared what God was trying to do, and he was trying to slow me down to get me to pay attention to what he was wanting to say. And you know, it's funny, we talked about King Josiah, a godly man, did amazing things for the kingdom of God, but towards the end of his life, at only 39 years old, he decided to enter into a war that he was not supposed to enter into, which cost him his life. And we talked about the importance of making sure that when we find ourselves in situations that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all those things are added unto us. And I shared with everyone last week, when God first spoke that scripture to me, I got really excited because it's a scripture we all love. But then God, again, took me on this journey because he wanted me to point out, listen, it's not seek first in prayer what you want, then all these things will be added unto you. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. And so we went on this journey and we talked about the parables and we talked about, see, why is it that these parables, why is it, Jesus, that you speak in parables? And he says there's the reason for it is because there are people that have the power to see but choose not to see. They have the power to hear, but they choose not to hear because they've devalued the word of God. And as we talked about the priorities in life, we talked about what we as Americans end up spending the majority of our time on here in this earth. And if you could go ahead, Jason, and put that slide up from last week. But we talked about we spend over 5 hours a day on our phones. Crazy. We talked about how we spend almost 3 hours a day on social media. We spend almost 3 hours a day watching TV. 20 minutes a day on exercise. 2.4 minutes a day on personal worship. And we wonder why our country's in the state that it's in. We wonder why the church is having to fight so hard. We wonder why evil abounds so much according to the things that we see. Because we don't prioritize the things of God. We prioritize our own lives. And so it's so important that we recalibrate the things that we focus on. And so we talked about last week, and we went over one thing, talking about prioritizing his presence. And it's so important, again, like what we did tonight, that we take a step back and we say, listen, I don't want to get so focused on everything else that's going on. I don't want to get so focused on just trying to check out. I don't want to get so focused on just trying to build my own life that I miss what God wants to do in my life. And this is what tends to happen all the time. And so we're going to continue in this today. And now that we understand that we prioritize his presence, we have to realize that we need to prioritize his word. Now, this is such an easy thing to think about. Yeah, we need to prioritize his word. But as God takes me on this journey, he's not talking about just opening up our Bible, reading through the scriptures real quick and trying to get through the day. Now, I know I've done this before where I finish doing my daily reading and I get done and I put my Bible away and I think, what did I read? I have no clue. I can't even tell you one verse I read because I was trying to get through my reading so I could get on with the day. Maybe you're saying, well, listen, I don't have time to really read my Bible, so I put my Bible on Audible all the time, or I have my Bible app, and so I listen to it while I drive. That's a great way to add to your Bible reading. But it is not a way to replace your Bible reading. You know, I was actually having a conversation with Pastor Teresa recently because I have to read this book for this Bible college class that I'm getting ready to teach. And she says, you know, there's an Audible class. Yeah, shout out to the Bible college. Sign up today. And I said, and she says, there's an Audible. And so I told her, the problem is if I listen to the Audible, I won't get what God wants to speak to me. Because I'll find myself in a place where I won't be able to highlight, and I won't be able to take notes, and I won't be able to go back and research. See, I can listen to it in the car, and I can get some of it, but am I downloading everything that God wants to say? Because a lot of times what tends to happen is as I'm reading my Bible, God will speak something. Or maybe God will grab my attention, and I realize that I need to go deeper. You know, one of the things I really like to do, and Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess and a lot of other people do this, Melissa's doing it this year, is the chronological. I know Steve likes to do the chronological. One of the cool things about that, you could be reading out of the book of Samuel about David, and all of a sudden you're in a section of Psalms. You're reading out of 2 Kings, and then you're in 2 Chronicles. Because you're getting a little bit more backstory on what's going on. You're not just powering through the Bible, but you're getting the history of what was taking place. So you don't just know the information, but you know the heart behind the information. See, God wants to take you to a place where you're not reading your Bible, but you're studying your Bible. And if it's a priority in your life, then you're not going to power through it. You know, so many times I think about even with our diets, there are things that I will eat that all I want is fuel. And so I'll eat in like 3 minutes. I'm done. I just needed fuel. But I'll take my time on a ribeye. Because that's good food. See, are we willing to prioritize God's word in our life? Are we willing to say, look, I'm going to make a decision that I'm not going to just power through? Now, you might be here tonight and you're like, well, listen, I'm retired. I read about an hour a day. Okay. But you're retired. You can read more. How effective do you want to be? You know, Pastor Dan, recently we were talking about tithing. We were talking about the widow's mite. Oh, you read out of your excess. But did you sacrifice? Did it cost you something? See, what value? Remember, this is why Jesus had to speak in parables, because they devalued the word of God. They found it too easy to say, oh, that's from before. Oh, I don't really understand that, so I'm just going to move on past it. Instead of saying, listen, God, what are you trying to speak to me in this moment? Because so many times, and we hear, I don't want to get too much into this, but we hear so many times people saying, listen, I don't hear the voice of God. Could it be because you don't know, again, the character of God? How can you know what he's going to say if you've never knew who he was? And I'm not talking about just making a decision to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ. If you want to try to just slide into heaven and not be effective here on this earth, you're not going to enjoy life here on earth as much as you think you will. But listen, you can be effective. You know, I was thinking about the relationships that we build in life. I remember when I first met my wife. See, we talked about prioritizing the presence, right? I wanted to be around her all the time because she's beautiful. I didn't really know her all that well, but I know I liked what I saw. So what happened? I started getting in her presence. But then would that have built a relationship between the two of us if we just sat next to each other all the time? No. See, I had to ask her questions. I had to get to know her. I had to figure out what took place in her life to get her to where she is today. I had to find out all the different things that she's done that has built up her life so that I could understand her in a different way. And the more time I spent with her and the more questions I asked her, the more that I understood her, the more we grew closer. We've been married 22 years. and I still get to know her more and more. There are things that I know about her, and see, this is the great thing about God, because the more you spend time with God, the more you realize how much you don't know about God and how much more time you need to spend with God so that you can get to know him better. But see, we're not going to get to know him if we're driving in a car and we just put him on in the sounds behind us. And we say, don't worry, I'll get a little nugget here and there, God. And you're going to have a little nugget relationship with him. You can invest just a little bit of time getting to know him. See, the word of God has been written for us. This is not something that has been written by man alone, just something that somebody thought up, that this is a good idea for us to put down on paper. And maybe if somebody follows some of these steps, maybe they might live a better life than they were living before they started. But we have to understand that the Word of God is a way that we get to understand his character, that we get to understand his authority, that we get to understand his truths, that we get to understand what he wants to do. We get to understand his past so that we can understand his present, so we can understand his future. See, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God wants to do something in our life today. He wants to do something in our season today. He wants to do something in your life today, but you won't know what that is unless you learn a little bit more about God. See, you can have a part of it. Well, listen, I'm only going to read the New Testament. Because, see, the Old Testament's old God. He was mean back then. I don't want to hear about mean God. I only want the love God. But then you read through all the different scriptures throughout the Word of God. You read through all of the Old Testament, and you see all the times that he had mercy. That there were things that he was getting ready to do, but he spoke to the prophets to warn them. Listen, this is not what I want for my children. You see the love that he had for his church. You see the love he had for his people. So we need to read the Word of God in its entirety. And I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 through verse number 10. Now, I have a lot of scriptures up front, and I thought, man, should I cut some of these? But we're talking about prioritizing the word, so should I throw a lot of the word out real quick? No, we should read some of it, right? So I'm gonna jump ahead through certain scriptures out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 through verse number 10. And I love this. Paul writing a letter to the church of Corinth, and he's like, man, you guys don't understand the importance of the presence of the Holy Spirit and making sure that you're in tune. I need you guys to understand, I don't want to do life without him. Everything I'm getting ready to tell you right now comes from him. So here's what he says in verse number 9. That is what the scripture means when they say, this is out of Isaiah, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So he says, look, you can't comprehend what God has for you. Verse number 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by the Spirit. Wait a second. See, no eyes could see, no ears could understand the depths, the understanding of the love that God has. But here's what happened. The Holy Spirit had given revelation. So when the Holy Spirit gave revelation, here's what Paul did. He took pen to paper and said, I'm getting ready to speak. Because you couldn't understand it before, but I'm getting ready to drop it on you right now. Verse number 12. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. See, again, the presence of God has come. The Spirit of God is upon us, and here's why. So that you can know the wonderful things God has freely given to you. Verse number 16, 4, Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. See, Paul says, look, you don't have the ability to have the understanding unless you have the mind of Christ. But here he's telling us, look, the reason why I can write this letter to you is because I have the mind of Christ. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking, because he's moving, because he's doing something in my life. See, this is the inspiration. You want to see it? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 through verse number 17. It says, all scripture, all, not some. Well, that's not for today. All scripture. Well, it's okay. See, Jesus didn't know what was going to be taking place in this day and age. All things, all scripture is inspired by God. See, it's not written here just from a man's thought or philosophy, but it's inspired by God. Here's what it's for, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Man, listen, I don't want to give this area up in my life, God. I'm trying to teach you to do what is right. Well, this area of my life, I'm not willing to surrender to God yet. See, we do a really good job at surrendering all the stuff that we don't want. So here I am with my plate of I got my ribeye, I got my broccoli, I got my salad. You want a bite of my salad? I'll give you some of my broccoli. I'll smack your hand if you don't touch my ribeye. See, this is mine. See, we're willing to share some things. Say, God, I'm willing to give this to you. I'm willing to give up my addiction. But I'm not willing to give up sex outside of marriage. I'm willing to come to church, God. But I'm not willing to clean up my mouth. I'm willing to stop acting like a fool, or maybe sitting around all the guys out there in the world when I come to the lunchroom at work. But I'm not willing to change the things that I watch at home or the things that I listen to on the radio. See, we find ourselves in a place too many times in our life where we're saying, listen, God, I'm willing to give you some. I'm just not willing to give you all. And God's saying, look it. All I'm asking for is all. I gave all. Jesus didn't go to the cross and give up a finger. Say, I'm willing to sacrifice my hand. No, he gave all of his life. Why is it that we feel that we can hold so much back from him? See, but we're not going to fully understand the things that he wants to do, because here's what he goes on to say in verse number 17. God uses it. To prepare and equip. I'm going to give another Bible college reference, because this sounds a little bit like this is why we go to Bible college, to prepare and to equip his people to do every good work. You can't do every good work if you're not in your word. If you don't know what God wants you to do, you won't do it. You know, I've had conversations with my wife. How was I supposed to know that you wanted me to do that? You never told me you wanted me to do that. She says she did tell me. I say she didn't. Only God knows. But I'm going to believe me. See, how are we going to do the things that God wants us to do if we don't know what he wants us to do? There's a research done by Lifeway Research. They did a study, 9 tangible benefits to reading the Bible. Now, they did a poll for 40,000 people. That's a lot of people. From the ages of 8 years old to 80 years old. That's a gap, right? They found out that people that go to church or read their Bible and or go to church one time per week, no change in their life. Now, Pastor Dan has mentioned you come to church one time a week, you're going to maintain. So if you're happy the way you came in, make this your only service this week and don't read your Bible if you don't want change in your life. If you want your life to remain the same, this is good enough for you right now. Two times a week reading your Bible, nothing happened. No change. Minimal, maybe. No change. Three times a week, oh man, there's a pulse. I'm going to try to revive you real quick because you opened up your Bible three times in a week. So maybe, boop, there's hope. Some things start to change. Four times a week, now we're getting somewhere. Here's what happens. When you read your Bible four times a week, feeling lonely drops 30%. You know, so many times we hear people, I feel lonely, I feel lonely, I feel lonely. When you understand that God is omnipresent, listen, you won't feel lonely anymore. When you start spending time with God and you enter into his presence, you won't feel lonely anymore. Anger issues drop 32%. Hallelujah. That's a good thing, huh, baby? Can you testify? I was an angry person. I haven't put holes in the wall, and how long has it been? It's been a long time. That was the beginning of our marriage. I got a punching bag now. Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships drop 40%. You want prayer for your marriage? You bitter towards your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend? Why don't you start reading what the Bible says about them? Go to the book of Corinthians and find out how you're supposed to have a relationship. Download the marriage series that's online. Bitterness in relationships drops 40%. You're not getting along with your friends? Read your Bible. Alcoholism drops 57%. Well, listen, I just can't stop drinking. Read your Bible. You won't be pouring all out for the homies. See, the God, Jesus doesn't want your booze. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this with fasting. See, when you fast, here's what you do. The time that you spent doing or eating or whatever it is that you're fasting, when you feel the urge to do that, what do? You get into the presence of God. You decide to spend that time in prayer. You decide to open up your word. All of a sudden, things change. Because I don't know about you, but I've never wanted to drink a beer while reading my Bible. If you have, we have prayer teams open at the front. We will lay hands on you. Cast that spirit out. Sex outside of marriage drops 68%. Look at that. Well, I just don't know how to control myself. Read your Bible. You see a theme here? It's amazing. You want God to fix your problems? Why don't you spend some time with him? Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. Isn't that funny? You feel like I hit a wall in my relationship with God. I don't feel like God's doing anything. What's the first thing we do? We probably stop praying. We stop reading our Bible because we're feeling a little stagnant. Why don't you read your Bible a little bit more? Get yourself stirred up. Fan into flame the gift that was given to you by the laying on of hands. How about we do what God's word says? But you got to know what God's word says if you want to get to that next level. Viewing pornography drops 61%. Again, you're not going to want to look at pornography if you're reading your Bible. You want to get on your phone and start browsing? Get on your Bible app instead. Open up your Bible. If you have a problem, you say, well, when I go to get the Bible app, I can't control it. Then put the phone away and get a paper Bible. If you can't control yourself, put the resources in place so that you can practice these things. Sharing your faith jumps 200%. Now hold on. Look to the seat next to you. Man, you see empty seats? How many more seats do you think we can fill up if we spent more time in our word? Because all of a sudden you'll find out what you're actually called to do. Not just build your kingdom, but build his kingdom. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. See, we will jump 200% in sharing our faith. I just don't have a boldness. Read your Bible. So you see, Paul even says, pray for me that I may have boldness. Paul the apostle, the guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he says that? Yeah. See, if you do what God, if you find out what God's word says and then put it to practice, guess what? Things start to change. How about this? Discipling others jumps 230%. I don't understand why God's not using me. Maybe you're not in your Bible enough. I don't understand why I'm not being effective in the things of God. I have all these people around me, but they just don't want to listen to me. Maybe because you're quoting scripture wrong. People will tell me something, the Bible says, I'm like, I don't know what scripture you read or what translation that was, but you need to switch. Just spend some time in the New King James for a while. Stop playing around because you're misinterpreting that. Stop watching The Chosen and acting like that's the only Bible you need to read. Because I hear too many times, oh man, I was watching The Chosen. Do you know what God did? You know they fill up some slots, right? A lot of that's creative. You know, they're saying, oh yeah, let's expand this a little bit. That ain't your Bible reading time. Stop acting like you know scripture because you watched The Chosen. Ready to move on? All right. So once we lose his character, or once we learn his character, we need to prioritize his voice. We don't do this enough. You know, we spend so much time telling God what we want him to do in our life and not enough time listening to what he wants us to do for him. God, this is what I want you to do for me. Not, God, what do you want to do? Or what do you want me to do for you? See, we like to talk a lot. You ever know somebody that they ask you a question and before you ever even get a chance to answer that question, they already got another question? You're trying to talk and it's like, I guess this is a one-way conversation. You ever wonder if God feels that way? See, we don't really want to hear what he has to say. We just want him to know what we have to say. Listen, God, I've already done everything that I need to do to put my plan together, and all you need to do is get on board. I don't need to know. See, Josiah wasn't asking God, should I engage in this war? He just jumped in. He was actually warned not to get in the war. Said, God is sending me, and he will plow through you if you decide to get in this, and he decided to do it anyways. But see, we want to so bad fill our time up with noise, with TV, again, all of these other things, that we don't prioritize his voice. You know, I started putting this message together on Sunday, but to give you a little bit of backstory, you know, last week, it's funny, we get done with church, I go home, and I can't sleep. I'm tossing and turning in bed. Melissa's like, why are you tossing and turning in bed? What's going on? Why can't you fall asleep? Like, I cannot stop. I'm stressed out about next week's message. She's like, why are you stressed out about next week's message? I'm like, because I need God to give it to me. She's like, you said you had a part two. I said, no, I didn't. I said, God said there's a part two. See, there's a difference. See, what happened was, as I was putting together the message, and I'm like, God, I have all of this. He's like, yeah, this is part one. So I started to explain, but see, I didn't have part two yet. But see, I learned my lesson from last time. I wasn't just going to tell God, okay, here's your time frame. So I just decided to meditate right after I got all stressed out. Opened up my Bible and went to bed. See? So the week goes on, and I'm just spending time with God. Sunday, I'm on my way home from church with my daughter, and we're listening to worship music, driving home. And all of a sudden, God downloads something. I said, Araya, pull my phone out real quick. Go to my notes. Write this down. Put this scripture reference down. She says, okay, Dad, as long as I get credit for co-author. So when you see Araya, you tell her she did real good tonight. So she puts the notes in, puts the phone back down. I'm like, awesome. We start singing worship again. I'm like, get the phone back. Put this down. She's like, okay. And then I said, she's like, ooh, that's good. I'm like, yeah. So we have this conversation afterwards. And I said, Araya, this is why it's so important that you never hang up the phone. See, are we open to hear his voice? Are we asking God, I want to hear what you want to do in my life. I want to hear what you want me to do in my life. Or do we have so much of our own plans made up that we spend all day long filling our time because we care more about, again, seeking our kingdom instead of his? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 3 through verse number 5. I'm going to try to let you have enough time to get there before I jump ahead. But in Samuel, here's what happened. There was a man by the name of Samuel. At this point in time, in chapter number 3, he was a boy. And his mother had given him to the temple because there was a promise that she had given to God. If you give me my son, I will give him back to you. So she honored what she said to God. What a concept. So she makes this promise. So she gives her son. So here he is in the temple with a man by the name of Eli. And in verse number 3, it says, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Man, when I read that this time, I mean, so I've read through this, I don't know how many times, but I read that this time and I just thought, man, here he is. He's not just sleeping. He's sleeping near the ark. He's where the covenant is. In the presence of God. See, the tablets are in that ark. The manna to show provision is in that ark. Aaron's rod is in that ark. It says that here he is sleeping next to the ark, sleeping next to the presence of God. Verse number 4, that the Lord called Samuel and he said, here I am. Then he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went to lay down. Verse number 8 through verse number 9. We're going to jump ahead. This happened a couple times. Verse number 8. So the Lord said to Samuel again for the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You know what's amazing about this? He doesn't say, okay, listen, that was God calling. So I need you to go back into the temple. I need you to get down on your knees, and I need you to knock on the door to Jesus until he answers you. He says, no, you need to go rest. You need to get alone. You need to get quiet. You need to wait. When he speaks to you, say, Lord, I'm listening. See, we need to slow down in our lives. We need to spend some time with God. We need to make sure that we're willing to hear him, to not just busy up our day with so much noise, that we don't leave opportunity for God to speak. And when he does speak, See, he goes on, and I'm not going to read it. You can go back and you read the story. But God spoke, gave him something to go tell Eli that was going to change the dynamic of the priesthood in that moment, that he was going to be the prophet that was going to come after Eli. The amazing things that Samuel did. See, if you're willing to listen to how God wants to use you, God will speak. He will tell you what he has for you next. But you got to prioritize his voice. And if we prioritize his voice, then we need to prioritize obedience to the call. This is a hard one. Because we got a bunch of people in this world that are very satisfied with coming to church, and that's it. I don't want to be a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just want to make sure I get to heaven. I don't care if I take anybody else with me. Get a little bit of Hezekiah. I don't care if they come from my family. I was told it's going to be well in my life. When we understand that people all around us are dying and going to hell, people in your workplace are dying and going to hell, people in the grocery store are dying and going to hell, people on the corner are dying and going to hell, people in the parks are dying and going to hell, people in your family are dying and going to hell, are we prioritizing the call that God has put on our life? See, everybody wants to be in ministry, so nobody wants to do the work of the ministry. Use me, God. We always hear people say, I got saved, and God's going to use me to preach the gospel. And in your mind, that means you're going to be up here one day. And it could be. But this is not the only stage. See, God will use the stage at your employment. He will use the stage of your neighbor. He will use the stage of the people at the grocery store. He will use the stage of the people at your gym. See, there are stages that are out there, but there's some ground that we need to plow. See, as you go through your Bible and you find out about a man named Elijah, by the way, he got to do double the miracles as Elijah. You know what Elisha was doing when Elijah met him? He was plowing a field. You know what Peter was doing? He was fishing, his job. See, we don't want to go to work to build people. We don't want to step out of ourselves and put ourselves in uncomfortable situations. We want to come sit in a church, feel good about ourselves that we did our job for the day. Now, God, bless me as I go so that I can live a good life here on earth and I can go to heaven. He says, no, there's much more to your life. I want to go to Luke chapter 9, verse number 57. Now, before I get to reading that, you know, I was thinking about this. Again, we want the pleasures of the ministry without the willingness to put in the work. I remember Melissa and I, when we first got married, we had desires to buy a home. And so while all of our friends were going on vacations, buying nice cars, doing all of these things, we were putting money aside because we wanted to buy a home. I was working multiple jobs at the time because we wanted to buy a home. We made sacrifices, worked opposite schedules when we had children because I wanted to buy a home. See, I didn't expect a home to just fall in my lap. I made a decision that I was going to put the work in. That I was going to prioritize the labor that came along with the purchase that I wanted to make. See, we have to understand that if we want to change this world for Jesus, we got to prioritize the labor that he's called us, that we got to go plow the ground. See, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We got too many people that are comfortable, again, with just filling up themselves. My cup's running over. That's because you ain't poured none of it out. Luke chapter 9. Don't worry, I'm not preaching next week. Luke chapter 9, verse number 57 to verse number 58. Jesus has been doing some amazing things. And I love this in verse number 57. It says, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. See, this is a lot of times what we say. We get saved. God, I will do anything. I will follow you wherever you go. He says, how about you go into the streets of San Bernardino? You're like, I said, I will follow you. Anywhere. Did you hear me? Go to the Philippines. I will follow you, God. See, but here's what Jesus says. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in. Birds have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. You know what he just said? He goes, listen, there are a lot of people in this world, they live comfortable. They got their nest. They got their den. You want to follow me? There's a cost. You want to be a disciple? Jesus, I'm willing to follow you. Are you? Are you ready to get a little uncomfortable? Because we can't even get past the fact that we're afraid that if we tell someone about Jesus, they might look at us funny. They might think we're a weirdo. Can't wear my Jesus hat. People are going to make fun of me. So what? Well, I can't tell someone about Jesus because they may not like me. So what? I can't go out into the streets. I want to be a disciple, Jesus. Do you realize that there's a sacrifice that comes along with it? Go to the book of Acts, chapter 6. This is one of my favorite sections of scripture. In Acts chapter 6, people are getting their lives changed left and right. There's discipleship going on. The church is growing. Here's what happens. Everybody's a preacher, and nobody's an usher. And so all of a sudden, there's people that are being neglected. Wait a second. Nobody's waiting on the widows. That's not okay. You have a responsibility. Now, here's the thing. I'm called to preach the gospel. But we need somebody that can go wait the tables. So here's what happens in verse number 3. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation and full of the spirit of wisdom. You know, it's funny. When I read this first, I'm running out of time, but I really feel like I need to say this. Here's something's getting ready to happen, and they need somebody to wait tables. And he says, find somebody of good reputation and full of the Spirit. Listen, I can't be a greeter. Listen, I'm battle tested. Leave that for somebody else that maybe just got saved. I don't want to just do check-in. Listen, I got more on the inside of me. I got a word from God. I can't just do this. Wait tables? Leave that to the guy that's full of the Spirit and wisdom. Okay, it goes on. It says, who we may put in charge of this task, verse number 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word. The statement found approval in the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. See, Stephen was chosen. Stephen didn't even submit his application. Hey, have you ever thought about being security? No, I don't want to do that. Have you ever thought about working in the parking lot? No. I have bigger things. Anybody can work in the parking lot. Anybody can run a camera. Anybody can drive a shuttle. Listen, there's something bigger on the inside of me. God wants to use me at a greater capacity. It says Stephen was chosen. Here's what happened in verse number 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power. was performing great wonders and signs among the people. You know what he just said? Listen, while he was ushering, people got healed. While he was checking in children, people got encouraged. While they were out there bringing people in the shuttles, people were getting saved. See, miracles, signs, and wonders took place when Stephen did what God asked him to do. Are you willing to get outside of yourself? Put your flesh aside. Listen, you're not too good for what God wants you to do. We deserved hell, but he saved us. He set us apart, and he says, listen, I want to use you. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. People ask, do you ever plan on planting a church? No, I don't plan on planting a church. I have an assignment. My job is to make sure they can do their job. That's my job. The people that work for me, their job is to make sure I can do my job so that they can do their job. See, what job is too big? Because if you're doing your job so someone else can do their job so that they can do their job and people are getting saved and the Inland Empire is transforming, listen, we're building the kingdom of God. If you can put a smile on someone's face greeting at a door or helping somebody get into a parking lot so that they can come in and they can have tears on this altar getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, why is that job too small for you? It's time for us to get outside of ourselves and do something for the kingdom of God. If you're doing nothing for the kingdom of God, I challenge you. Get an application. A volunteer application. Get busy. Because somebody served so you didn't have to die and go to hell. Return the favor for someone else. Let's build the kingdom of God. Let's fill this church. Let's do something because Jesus is worthy of all of our life. Amen. Whew. I need to make sure that everybody here has an opportunity to surrender their heart and life over to Jesus Christ. I know I went a little long today. I'm going to ask you for the ministry of patience. Fruit of the Spirit, operate in that right now. I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, because the fact of the matter is, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will die and go to hell. I don't have any time to sugarcoat it today. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will die and go to hell. I did not say if you acknowledge the fact that there's a Jesus, if you don't acknowledge the fact that there's a Jesus, you will go to hell. I didn't say that. Acknowledging Jesus won't get you to heaven. A relationship with Jesus will get you to heaven. Confessing him with your mouth and believing in him with your heart, that's how you get saved. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus, says, what do I need to do, Jesus, to get to heaven? Nicodemus was better than all of us. He knew the word of God. Listen, he wasn't getting angry. He could speak the word of God. He did everything the right way. Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. I don't understand what born again means. I'm an old man. How do I enter back into my mother's womb? He says, you're not getting it. What's born of the spirit is spirit. What's born of the flesh is flesh. It's time for you to die to yourself and become alive in Christ. You've been living a life separated from God. And God is saying, listen, I don't want you to do life by yourself anymore. I want you to do life with me. But it starts by you making a decision to surrender your heart and life over to him. So I want to give you an opportunity today to make a decision. Because it doesn't matter how many times you come to church. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter if you know your word, you can speak your word, you spend time in prayer. None of it matters if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, Brian, you don't understand. I have some work to do on myself. I can't come to God this dirty, this messed up. You know, I mentioned this last week. I gave my heart and life to Jesus 3 days after I was done sticking needles in my arm. I was homeless when my mom dropped me off at Set Free. I had nowhere to go. The reason why it took me 3 days is because I was coming down hard. I'd been up too many days, and I was a mess. But when I finally came to, Jesus grabbed a hold of my heart. Now, you might be here today saying, well, look, I'm high today. Well, get delivered. Get saved. Surrender your heart and life over to him. Well, the people don't come to church high. Yeah, they do. We're in San Bernardino. Come on now. I used to come to church high before I got saved. I came to church drunk. I went to youth ministry drunk. I'm not foolish to think that everybody in here has got it all together. You want to know why? Because I didn't have it all together. And I came to church every single week. My mom drugged me here. I hated it. I'm grateful for it. Because Jesus finally got a hold of me. But I made a decision to surrender my heart and life over to him. So here's what I'm going to do. If you never surrendered your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. If you've been living your life your own way, doing your own thing, I want to give you an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm done with my way, and I want to live his way. I'm done with my life, and I want to live his life. I'm done with my choices, and I want to surrender my heart and life over to him. If you're not sure today, make sure today. You're saying, well, Brian, listen, I made the decision before. Yeah, I've had some bumps and bruises along the way. I walked away for a little while, but once saved, always saved. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Paul says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Well, I got more time. There's a story in the Bible of Lazarus and a rich man. He thought he had more time, but he didn't. And when he died, and he was in a place of torment, called out to Abraham, says, listen, send over Lazarus that he may put a drop of water on my tongue to quench this. He says, no, man, what's done is done. There's a chasm in between us. We can't get to you. You can't get to us. It's done. Well, send him back that he may warm my family. They got Moses and the prophets. You will stand before Jesus Christ one day. And you say, well, listen, I didn't know. Yeah. You have that loudmouth Brian telling you, and you chose, instead of surrendering your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, sit there with your arms crossed because you were afraid of what somebody else would think. You wanted to live your life doing your own thing. You weren't ready because you had too many things that you wanted to hold on to, and your hands were too full for Jesus. It's time for you to open up your hands. Release the things in your life and say, Lord, I give you all of my heart and all of my life. So in a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Clap my hands like this. When I clap my hands together, if you want to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Why do I got to raise my hand? Because if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. It's a choice you have to make. Well, I might get embarrassed. Who cares? I promise you this. You'll hear people clapping. Why? Because it's the best decision you've ever made in your life. So many others have made this decision. But even if they say something about you, who cares? You won't die and go to hell. So when I count to three, if you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Never made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm talking to you. Not sure? Let's make sure today. Went away from God, time to turn back to God, I'm speaking to you. One, two, three. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? Didn't embarrass them, won't embarrass you. Anybody else today? I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? I see hands waving. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else? I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else? Maybe you're there today and you're like, man, I see your hand. Praise God. I see your hand. Praise God. Two more people right there. I see. Right here. Praise God. Anybody else today? Anybody else? If I saw your hand, you can put it down. Praise God. Amen. Best decision of your life. See hands pointing over here? Praise God. Amen. Best decision of your life. Well, here's what we're going to do, because I believe there's still more. But Pastor Dan took way too long on announcements today. And so we're out of time. So what I'm going to ask you to do, are you willing to be so bold to get out of your seat and come up here to the altar? Here's what I want to do. I want to greet you. I want to pray with you. I want to give you some information. Your family will wait for you. But if you said, I'm willing to surrender all of my heart and all of my life to Jesus Christ, don't start your first decision off by doing it your way and saying, no, I'm gonna sit right here. If you said yes to Jesus, as everybody stands to their feet, come up here to the altar so that I can shake your hand and pray with you. Said yes, and you raised your hand. Anybody else? There's a good turnout, but I feel like there's somebody else. Somebody else. Praise God. Here they come. Here they come. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Your life is getting ready to change. You're going to go about your life. You're going to feel the same. You got some battles ahead of you. I can promise you that. That's why the Bible says, he that endures to the end, because you're going to have to endure some things. You got to make a decision that you're going to leave the past behind. You got to make a decision that you're going to read your word, that you're going to spend time with God, that you're going to hear his voice, that you're going to live differently. And if you apply the word of God to your life, you continue to come to church, you continue to spend time with him, I'm here to tell you, you may not feel different tomorrow, but God will continue to renew your mind through his word, that you will prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. God will do some amazing things in your life, but you have to make the choice to walk this out. You make a mistake tomorrow, shake it off. Get your butt back to church. Don't worry about the mistakes. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, and he will continue to transform your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you because of your shed blood. We can now stand here, and we can say that we are your kids called by your name, that because of what you have done, we can now enter into your family. So we thank you, Lord. With arms wide open, we receive you into our lives. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Touch me, change me, motivate me, encourage me, that I may live all my life pleasing you. We thank you, Lord, that from this day forward, I choose to continue to move forward. I may take a step back, but I will plow ahead. I will never find myself going back to the world. I submit myself fully to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Here's what we're gonna do. This is Pastor Joel on my right, your left. All he wants to do is he wants to give you some information. He wants to give you a friend, a faith-filled friend that will come alongside of you, encourage you in the things of God. He'll send you right back to your family. So if you can make a left-hand turn, follow Pastor Joel. Your family will wait for you. Amen. God is so good. Thank you so much. Well, listen. I apologize for going over, but God is faithful, and he wants to continue to do something in the lives of people. I know sometimes it's like, man, I got to get up for work tomorrow. Trust me, I get it. But I thank you for the opportunity that I got to spend a little bit more time. Can I bless you? as we go? Heavenly Father, I want to lift up each and every person here. I thank you, Lord God, that as they continue to spend time in your presence, as they continue to prioritize your word, as they continue to prioritize hearing your voice, as they continue to prioritize doing your will, I thank you, Lord, that you will continue to bless them. I thank you, Lord God, that you will continue to open up the windows of heaven and pour down a blessing so much that they cannot contain it. I thank you, Lord, that as they step out in faith and they do what you've asked them to do, Lord God, that you're going to use them mightily, Lord. And I lift up each and every person that's here today, those who have yet to serve. Lord God, we call them to service today. They're checking in, Lord God, and they're saying, listen, I'm no longer satisfied with living my life for myself, but I want to build the kingdom of God. So I pray as they go, if they don't choose to serve you, get them a little uncomfortable, God. Stir them up. It's time that we build your church. It's time that we fill your house. It's time that these seats are no longer empty. Lord God, as we go, I pray, Lord God, that you bless them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.